industrial instruments, that's parental leave and carer's leave, and also to pick up just some comments in relation to the submission that the ACCI, the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, has made, and then I'm happy to take, obviously, your questions.
Sure.
So perhaps
Thank
if
you.
I just go through that. The Commission's discussion paper, rightly, we think, identified both carer's leave and parental leave as two areas where industrial instruments, formerly awards and now the Workplace Relations Act, deals with family relationships. And our submission essentially concurs with the preliminary view in the discussion paper that in those two instances the existing workplace relations regulations do treat same-sex couples in a way that is potentially discriminatory, in that both of the areas are based on the assumption of heterosexuality and not of more diversity in family relationships. Our submission didn't look at superannuation, which was an oversight, and we have had the opportunity to have a look at the ASFA submission, and simply, I think, to say that we would endorse the recommendations that ASFA have made in their submission in relation to superannuation as well. And I note that the PSU group in their submission also dealt with superannuation for Commonwealth employees,
yep,
and we pick up on that as well and endorse their submission there.
Okay.
In relation to parental leave and to carer's leave, our view is that the legislation, as it is now, and before that industrial awards, should any reform to those areas should really look to address the purpose of those forms of leave in the workplace and do so in a non-discriminatory manner. In the case of parental leave, it's probably a little bit less clear-cut than carer's leave. But if you look at the purpose, short maternity leave is available for mothers, whether or not they're the primary caregiver of a child, partly as a recovery from the birth process, and their relationship status is totally irrelevant to their entitlement to maternity leave, because it's the fact of having given birth that that gives rise to the entitlement to maternity leave. Short paternity leave is available to support the mother and to care for any siblings of the new infant and to allow the father to bond with the baby. Now, those things are not necessarily things that are always done by the father. If someone other than the child's father is to be the secondary caregiver of an infant, then that support person to the mother is arguably someone who should have access to leave at that time as well. That may be the mother's same-sex partner, but it might be grandma. There could be other people in the family who might rightly have an entitlement or have a say that they should have an entitlement to leave. An amendment to parental leave that picked up partner leave would pick up the issue for same-sex partners, but it wouldn't necessarily pick up grandma. So I guess, in our view, when you look at the purpose of the leave, there may well be scope for further reform that goes further than just addressing the issue of same-sex partners and really looks at who is providing the care to infants and the support to a mother at the time of the birth of a child. And there may also be issues associated with paternal bonding. In that example that I've just given, where the father might still rightly ask for leave to bond with the infant, even if the father wasn't going to be the secondary caregiver of the child. And we need to respect the rights of children as well as parents in this and have a sort of child-centred approach to that. In the case of long parental leave, that is generally available to mothers or fathers to provide ongoing care for infants and young children. And in our view, if someone other than the biological mum or dad is undertaking that role, then arguably they should have access to the leave. Again, it's a child-centred approach, which says that the care of infants, the person who's taking care of the child, should have access to the leave. Now what we recognise there is that this might mean that three adults would have access to care for a child, and that is something that obviously the employer community would have a say about. We note that that can happen now in relation to adoption leave, where mum can take maternity leave, but two adoptive parents could take adoption leave. So it's not unknown now that three adults might have access to leave in association with the care of a child. We don't want to fit employers up with leave for everybody who's got some interest in the welfare of a child. We don't think that that's appropriate for minimum standards. But we do think that having identified the issue of same-sex couples' access to parental leave, it actually identifies that there's probably a scope for a further review to whether parental leave generally is performing the role that you would hope that it would perform in terms of providing care for infants and young children. And we would say that the move from parental leave out of awards and into legislation was the ideal opportunity to have a look at modernisation of parental leave, which the government failed to do at the time that it moved parental leave out of awards and into legislation. Just to pick up on personal and compassionate leave, we think that there's less scope for argument there. In our view, there's no doubt that the current legislative provisions and before that award provisions are discriminatory in the way they are drafted, in that a same-sex couple who, a member of a same-sex couple who's not living in the same household as their partner doesn't have access to carer's leave. So you have to be living in the same household to have access, and there are obviously instances where partners are living in separate cities for work reasons or whatever, which would deny them access to carer's leave. It's also true that in relation to compassionate leave, you don't have a same-sex couple wouldn't have access to compassionate leave to attend the deathbed or the funeral of a member of their partner's family, whereas a member of the opposite sex couple obviously has access to that compassionate leave. We were cognisant of these problems when we last addressed carer's leave, and we had an agreement with the Australian Industry Group and the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry to review the discriminatory or to review the definition of family in relation to carer's leave. But unfortunately, the move from industrial awards to legislation has meant that that agreement can no longer be put into effect. Our decision to review the definition was made in relation to awards, and carer's leave is no longer a matter to be included in awards. It's now solely the province of legislation, and it's up to the government to determine what the definition is rather than the industrial parties or the Industrial Relations Commission. So our capacity to have influence over that is diminished in the new workplace relations regime. Perhaps if I just touch briefly on the... and I'm happy to answer questions about that process. The ACCI submission... we do want to say something about the ACCI submission. We recognise these aren't adversarial proceedings, but there is a section in the ACCI submission that the ACTU doesn't believe should be left sort of unchallenged or out there, and it's paragraph 17 of their submission where ACCI make an argument that individual bargaining, AWAs, are the proper policy response to addressing discrimination against same-sex couples in the workplace. And what they say is that because there may well be workplaces where the majority of workers don't support recognition of same-sex relationships, the individual bargaining is the way to address that, because the majority may well wish to make an agreement which was discriminatory. Now, the majority is unable to make an agreement which is discriminatory. The employer and the majority of employees can't agree to make an agreement that contains terms that discriminate against workers on grounds of sexual preference. Such a term would be unenforceable if it were in an award. It would be removed by the Commission, able to be removed by the Commission. And if it were in an industrial agreement, it would be able to be removed by the Office of Employment Advocate. And so the premise that ACCI sort of based their argument on, that the majority of employees may well want to agree to a discriminatory agreement, and therefore the way around that is AWAs, is simply a false premise, because they couldn't do it. And if you think about it in terms of, for example, sex discrimination, their argument is essentially that if the majority of workers were men who thought that it was wrong that women got equal pay for work of equal value, then it would be okay for the employer to reach an agreement with the majority of those workers, paying the women less, and then you'd fix that up by doing a secret deal with the woman on site to give her the equal pay. Now, that logic, obviously, in the context of sex discrimination, everybody finds offensive, and we find it just as offensive in the context of discrimination against same-sex couples. It's simply a nonsense to think, a fantasy to think, that a worker starting a job would be able to say to their employer, I think that you should change the definition of family in my AWA to allow me to take, in the event that my partner's father dies, allow me to take leave to go to the funeral, before they've got the job, before they've made the relationship with the employer, having to declare their sexuality if they're not comfortable doing that, as a way of individually negotiating access to compassionate leave, which isn't found in the minimum standards, is in our view fanciful, and it's certainly not an answer. Human rights should be universal rights and shouldn't be contingent upon someone's bargaining power at the workplace. So having said that, we're happy, as I say, to provide whatever assistance we can to the committee and to the commission. If there are homophobic elements in workplace culture, we think that both employers and unions, where there are unions in the workplace, have a role in addressing that, and certainly not sweeping it under the carpet through individual bargaining and secret individual agreements, rather than dealing with it at the collective level.
Well, thank you, Ms. Martel, both for your submission overall and for those comments on the ACCI submission. I don't think you were present when I discussed that area of the submission with the representative from the ACCI, but I have to say that I think your guys. In your submission, you comment that same-sex couples can access carer's leave to care for their partner unless they share the same house. And you also say that the definition of immediate family was to be reviewed but couldn't be because of changes under the Work Choices Act, not providing any way to implement such a review. Can you explain how the Work Choices Act prevents a review of the definition of immediate family in awards?
Yes, what the legislation does is it sets up new legislative minimum standards which haven't previously been a feature of our legislation, or not by and large have not been a feature of the federal legislation, because by and large it was not thought that the federal government had power to legislate minimum standards. So although there was some, they weren't historically part of our legislation. This new legislation puts a number of matters into federal legislation, including carer's leave and parental leave,
yep.
And then says, because these things are legislated and are set out in the legislation, they are not matters that can be included in industrial awards. So while awards continue to operate, parental leave and carer's leave are no longer allowable matters. And in fact, the legislation goes further and says that anything that is in the fair pay and conditions standard is non-allowable.
Right.
And once it's non-allowable, then it's not enforceable. Is part of the way legislation works. So the Commission has no power to make new awards or to vary awards in this area, and existing awards are, if they deal with parental leave or carer's leave, unenforceable. There is an exception to that, which makes things confusing, in that if the parental leave or carer's leave was superior to the legislated minimum, then they are called preserved award matters and they continue in force for existing employers. And that becomes quite difficult. If you look at, say, an award like the Flinders University Award, which has a definition of family which includes same-sex couples, and it has better carer's leave, 15 days per annum, on a quantum measurement, you can say it's clearly more generous and therefore it is preserved. So that award continues to apply, even though the legislation says that generally they don't.
Mm-hmm.
What is more problematic is whether the definition continues to apply, because the general rule of thumb that the Minister has promulgated in the legislation is that when you look to see if an award is more generous or less generous, you look at the quantum of leave, you don't look at other things.
I see.
So whether the definition continues as a preserved award matter is something that we won't know until it's tested in the Commission or the courts at some stage. Probably an individual could enforce the right, but a new worker coming in may not necessarily have the right.
And that would be even more problematic, wouldn't it, if the leave provisions themselves were the same, but the definition was a broader definition.
That's right. Because, so if the award had 10 days, then is it more generous? The definition is more generous, so more people have access, presumably. But the general rule of thumb that's been promulgated in the regulations is that the main thing that you look at is quantum, not ancillary provisions. And
that's a helpful point.
It's not, well, it's, yes, it's not particularly helpful. And
no, I mean, it's helpful to us to have it clear, because that's clearly something we need to make a recommendation.
Yes, and there is a second part where the regulations also say, and I'm sorry, I haven't brought my copy of the Act with me, that you can then look at an individual's circumstances. But again, you're then saying individual by individual, what's preserved for a particular person, not what's preserved for a broader class.
Yes, I understand that. And so what you were referring to when you were talking about review in your submission was review of the award provisions.
Yes, our agreement was to review the definition of family in the award system, and if we could reach agreement, we would then have made a recommendation to the Industrial Relations Commission to implement that agreement by consent. I guess if we had not reached agreement, we would have made a decision at that stage whether to arbitrate the matter. We had arbitrated it back in the mid-90s and not got the definition that the ACTU was pursuing, but maybe 10 years on we would have got a different definition.
Can a collective agreement or AWA use a different definition to the one that's in the legislation?
Yes, and a large number do,
right.
And are more generous. They can't have anything in them that's discriminatory, and they can't provide something that's less generous than the minimum standards, but a large number of collective instruments will provide a better definition or a higher quantum of leave.
Yeah.
If you look across the university sector, for example, having picked up just that Flinders one, all of their parental leave is partner leave rather than father's leave.
Yeah. Are you aware of employees that have been denied carers leave to care for their same-sex partners?
Not directly, no. No, I am aware of inflexibilities in the system, but they've been more around parents who've had children on care and adoption orders and things like that. So we're care and protection orders rather than adoption. So, I haven't had a chance to read all of the submissions of our affiliates, but it's our affiliates who deal more directly with the personal grievances of individuals.
Then you wouldn't be aware of any complaints that have been lodged as a result of that, if you weren't aware of
not directly,
that occurring.
No.
Yeah, sure.
No.
Okay. Are there other alternative entitlements that same-sex couples can use to effectively obtain care, provide care for their partner? I don't mean using their annual leave or those sort of things, but are there other ways that carer's leave can be obtained?
Well, because it's paid leave, really the only option is the carer's leave entitlement. I presume that a large number of same-sex couples who don't want to declare their sexuality may well feign illness rather than saying that they're caring for someone, which in fact is quite common amongst other workers who are not prepared to... mothers with young children will often feign personal illness rather than say it's their children for fear of discrimination on the grounds of their parenting responsibility.
Yep.
So
yep.
False recording of personal illness as opposed to taking the care for caring purposes would be one of the things that you would imagine would be a workaround that people would use. But the primary mechanism is to rely on the fact that you're living in the household with your partner, which, as I say, is fine provided you're living in the same household.
Sure.
It also doesn't deny, it doesn't recognise the nature of the relationship and give it any status other than a cohabitation relationship.
Yep. How would you say immediate family ought to be defined, or is there another term that you would prefer to see used in order to remove the sort of discrimination that we're talking about?
Well, the ACTU doesn't have a definition that we'd come up with, and it was one of the things that we would have done had we gone through the process, and we would have presumably looked at the definitions that have been adopted by some of the states to see which were working better in terms of the domestic partner type definitions. So we don't have a preferred set of words, but we go back to the view that you have to look at the purpose of the leave.
Sure.
In the UK, for example, their leave is not limited to family members, but is available to people who are usually responsible for the care for a dependent, and it may include a next door neighbour, for example. So it's the dependency relationship that's important rather than the other sort of relationship. The problem with that, of course, is that there is a proof issue, and if people are unwilling to disclose the nature of their relationship, to disclose the nature of the dependency, it doesn't get around that. There are people who are unwilling to disclose for fear of discrimination.
In the context of parental leave, you talk about access to parental leave for same-sex couples. What do you consider needs to be changed to ensure access to that sort of leave for same-sex couples? Is it the definition of spouse or de facto partner? Is that enough, or should there be a specific statement that same-sex couples are to have access to parental leave?
This isn't something where the ACTU has done any detailed work about how you would change the system, and which is why, again, I went back in my opening remarks to say let's look at the purpose of the leave to make sure that it is responsive to diverse family arrangements across the board rather than simply tinkering around the edges. The history of the development of parental leave in Australia through the arbitration process, it was 1979 when we first got maternity leave, which was modelled largely on Commonwealth legislation in the Commonwealth public sector, and then arbitration for adoption leave and arbitration for parental leave in 1990. Mm. But our scheme is very different to what you find across most other developed nations, and it may well be that you need to go back and look at the entire parental leave arrangement, separate back out maternity leave and caring for infants. At the moment, we amalgamate the two, and they're actually quite different purposes. So maternity leave is definitely about recovery from birth and maternal child bonding, whereas care for infants is a different form of leave, and you may well end up with maternity leave and parental leave rather than amalgamating the three. So I think it probably parental leave needs a wider look to get it right.
Okay. Can you give us any examples of employers who've developed non-discriminatory policies regarding same-sex couples? You're able to?
Yeah, well, I think I mentioned the university sector by and large. If you look across the agreements that the NTU has negotiated, they've been quite successful in eliminating discrimination in their agreements. I believe a number of the banks have done so, although off the top of my head I haven't come prepared with the clauses from those agreements, but I believe it may well be the ANZ Bank, I think, has a reasonably decent clause. Some of the social and community sector have done so. By and large, where unions have made the claim, I think that they've probably been reasonably successful in pursuing it. And it's a matter of partly our responsibility to make it a higher priority in unions' claims to look at the definitions. But unions often simply roll over what's in the award into the agreement without necessarily examining whether it's entirely appropriate.
So. Sure.
And employers often are happy to roll over what's in an award, but they don't want to change anything too. So.
Yes. Yeah. When advising your members, how do you reconcile the strict provisions of the law and the general objective in the legislation of non-discrimination? I'm talking about the definition of family in the Workplace Relations Act, which excludes same-sex couples.
Yes.
But the general objective in the legislation of non-discrimination. I mean,
you have to say they're in conflict. Yes, and that, which is why we raised the issue for review with the national employers when we were looking at the issue of carer's leave. But generally, if you're talking about when a union rings the ACTU. We advise them what they can do in bargaining in terms of alternative definitions, that they're not hamstrung by the definition in the legislation. We in a number of cases in the old system when unions were renegotiating awards, we were able to give them advice about some awards that do contain less discriminatory definitions that include specific reference to same-sex couples. Some awards will say spouse includes same-sex couples. Other awards will say they'll simply remove the words of the opposite sex, so they don't make specific reference, but by excluding the words of the opposite sex, they've at least gone part way to solving the problem.
Yep.
So we'll refer them to the fact that it's been done in other industries, etc. None of the unions that rang me over the last couple of years have ever had to go to arbitration on the issue, so they've always been able to get employer consent to a change in the term of the award where they've raised it. That's not to say it's been raised in every award, it clearly hasn't. And it clearly hasn't been raised in the majority of them, or it may well have found its way through to the legislation as a change. But
Have you put to government, to the Commonwealth Government, the fact that there's a incongruity between the broad objectives of the legislation and the definition of...
The Commonwealth Government was a participant in the conciliation proceedings in the Industrial Relations Commission, and was... So they were involved, I wouldn't say in every meeting that we had in the Industrial Relations Commission, but they were certainly involved in many of the meetings we had in the Industrial Relations Commission where this issue of the definition was discussed, and where the decision to review it within the 6 months was made. And from memory, the Commonwealth endorsed in its entirety the consent arrangement between the ACCI, the Australian Industry Group, and the ACTU. So in endorsing our consent arrangement, they not only endorsed the things that we had changed or recommended that the Commission change, but they also presumably endorsed our decision to review the definition in 6 months. So they've certainly been, while we haven't directly raised it with the Commonwealth, we have they're well aware of the discussions that we had.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's all of the questions that I have. So again, thank you to both to the ACTU for the submission and your making yourself available today. And I'm sorry that we delayed you by an extra 20 minutes, but